This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. Splash Refresher spices up my daily water intake by putting fun and hydration in one. Because as a mom, I already have my hands full. Every Splash Refresher flavor is delicious, bright, flavorful, and zero calories. I don't waste time on flavorless water I don't enjoy. I just drink Splash and I like it.
My favorite flavor is the lemon. It really does taste like lemonade.
My favorite is the mandarin orange flavor.
There's a flavor for everyone to enjoy.
Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Hello and welcome to Childproof from Betches Media. I'm Gwenna Lakeland.
And I'm Tori Phantom. This show is dedicated to all the parents who have nearly peed themselves because their child appeared from the shadows like a creepy ninja zombie.
And to all the parents who haven't had a plate full of food to themselves since they became a parent.
Today we are talking about sharing, caring, and scaring. How is that one episode, you might ask? Because I sure did. I asked Gwenna, and she said...
The words rhyme, so they go together.
Yeah, that tracks. I mean, it works for me. We'll make it work. But let's start the timer and see how it actually works when we start talking about it.
Okay, so... Sharing food. Do you share food with your kids?
Kind of. I have rules about it. So I will absolutely share food with them. Kind of. They can have food off my plate if they use their own fork or just their hands. Mm-hmm. But I don't like sharing in a capacity where the germs from our mouths are going to mingle. Yeah. I have this theory with my eldest kid that we laugh about because I will not share a drink with her. And she's at an age now where it's not the gross backwash, right? Like you ever mm-hmm. like see a toddler or even just a young child take a drink from a bottle
and then
you
like hold it up. Goes right back in the bottle.
Right. You hold it up to the light and you're like, wow, are all those things in your mouth? That's so gross. So you don't share a drink with a little one, right? But my eldest doesn't do that anymore. However, I won't share a drink with her because anytime I do, I get sick. And it doesn't matter if she's sick. Yeah. I will get sick. And just literally a week and a half ago, she wanted a sip of my drink. And I was like, you know, if you take a sip of my drink, I'm going to get sick. And she's like, I'm not sick. And I said, that doesn't matter. But mm-hmm. I was like, fine, go ahead, have a sip. I swear, 2 days later, I got sick. She didn't get sick. I did. So
stupid immune
they can
systems.
Have some of my stuff. If they want some of my drink, I'll drink it to like leave a little for them and give mm-hmm. it to them. They can have food off my plate if they use their own fork or just take it with their hand. But I don't want their mouth on my fork. I am germophobic.
I'm slightly germophobic, but not of our own bodily germs. I come from the school of thought that everyone in this house has been inside me at some point in their lives.
That's so a lot to take in.
So
that's what she said.
It doesn't matter. Like, I will absolutely let my kids eat off my fork. Now, I don't share drinks with the small ones because, yeah, you do get a lot of backwash, and that's just it's not the germs that are transferring. It's how long was that inside your molar before it ended up in my water.
Where does it all come from? Why is it foggy after you drank one sip?
One sip.
I don't understand.
I didn't even see the backwash happen. And yet there's floaters in my beverage.
So you just tell your kid whenever they start drinking out of a bottle and you're like, little mouth.
No, actually what I tell my kid is that is yours now. I will just go get another one. I'll just open another bottle. It's okay.
It's fine. It's fine. We don't have to share. It's yours. You win.
Now, here's the thing though, is I think probably from their second birthday until a little after their third birthday, the only way my littles got food for every single meal was what we called drive-by feedings.
Yeah.
Jack and I would put our portions on our plates and then we'd put a little extra that we thought the kids would also eat and we would be eating and they would zoom by and we'd, you know, pop a bite in their mouth and they'd, you know, wander off again. And then they'd come by and they'd go to the other parent and they'd get a bite of that and then wander off. That's how they got their primary source of nutrition for about a year. I just fed them directly off my fork. Jack kept like a little kid fork on the side of his plate.
I was about to say, I've done the same thing, but I would just bring an extra fork. Yeah. Because they're just like, especially at that age, it's not just the spit. Like they're just, they're so snotty.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
just, their faces are always so wet with, I don't know what. So
actually the most recent time I was like, you know what? I think I'm done with that fork. I don't think I'm going to use that fork is, my littlest, the girl child, she just lost her first tooth and it came out during dinner. I don't know what hit it, but that's finally what knocked it loose. And the adult tooth was already through and growing. Like,
yeah.
We knew this thing was coming out in a matter of very short time. Like, we knew it was yeah. coming out. So it wasn't a surprise. And so we were all kind of keeping an eye on it every mealtime because this tooth was going
right.
to go.
Right. And at that age, they're like too afraid to actually pull it.
Yeah.
You just kind of have to let it do its thing.
But however she got it, something hit it and it did snap it loose. So she gets a little bit of blood. And mm-hmm. then she pulled the tooth out of her mouth, mm-hmm. set it down on her plate and continued eating. She did not tell anyone that the tooth had come out of her mouth. We were talking amongst ourselves. She felt the tooth. She picked it. She put it on her plate. And then she's like, Mom, can I have a bite? I was eating something different because my dietary restrictions meant I couldn't have what the rest of my family was having. Can I have a bite? And so I absolutely went, yeah. And I stabbed the piece of fish and I looked over. And then as like I turn around and time slows down and her gaping, bleeding maw is leaning toward my fork. And I was like, that's your fork now. You know what? That's just... We're not.
You can have the fork and the food, kid.
I'm not. We're all done. Okay. Like, it was just surprising. Yeah. Like, in the millisecond after that happened, I realized why my child's mouth is bleeding. Right. I spotted the miss. Like, everything yeah. made sense. But for like a hot second, I was like, oh my gosh.
Last time one of my kids lost a tooth, she tried to put it back in because she thought it would be funny. And I was like, dude, you're going to choke. Please stop. Put the tooth away.
I do not force my kids to share with each other. I think we've covered this before, but it's yeah. it's worth discussing again.
Yeah. Okay. I have opinions on the idea of sharing in the yeah. way that it's talked about largely. And that is that it's not actually sharing what people are asking for kids to do
it's,
when they say you should share.
Compelled surrender just, is what
yes,
it is.
Yes, it's literally just asking someone to give their thing away. Like yeah. if you and you see it, like especially I think with like the younger kids because mm-hmm. and I think it's a thing that is ingrained in us to feel like we have to teach our kids manners. We have to teach them to mm-hmm. share. We have to teach us. And when you are overwhelmed in that new parenthood of mm-hmm. having a kid who is mobile and interacting with other children, and you want them to be good people, and you're like, share your thing, but. Are we asking them to share it or give it away?
Right.
Because if they're playing with it and it's a one person toy, which is most toys, how do you share it? You just give it away. And so I don't force sharing in that capacity ever. I mean, I think about it in the context of me being an adult, right? Like my mm-hmm. phone is my phone. I'm not going to share it.
Share my phone right. with
it's,
my
like,
spouse.
It's my personal
like
property.
He's welcome to use it sometimes. He like, we're not hiding anything, but if he's like, I'm going to look something up, he doesn't ask, give me your phone to do that. Like he right. uses his own.
Right. And I think that's something that we have to extend to our children of that personal mm-hmm. property. There are some things that my kids lay claim on as this is my thing that I don't ever want anyone else to touch. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we have the community toys that are more shared. And mm-hmm. so when I will use the term you have to share is say a kiddo is playing with a set of toys and there's some toys next to them that they're thinking about, but they haven't yeah. touched them. They're just still sitting there. Other kid enters. I want to play with that. No, no, I want to
use gonna
that.
Play with
I was
going to play with
that. That's where it is. I was gonna play with it, but you're not right now. You're yeah. playing with this. So we're going to share. We're going to let her play with these toys. Mm-hmm. And if you want to play with her with those, I encourage playing together uh-huh. over sharing because just the connotation of what sharing is when people discuss it is really just like fork it over, kid.
See, and we have more of an emphasis. We have the same thing. We have protected toys. We have toys that no one's ever allowed to even ask to borrow. In our case, it's just Lovies. That's the yeah. only high protected toy is their like lifelong ride or die lovies.
Yeah.
We don't ask to play with Dolly. We don't ask to play with Gagu. No one questions where Dolly or Gagu end up.
Can I?
I don't know how they got their names, by the way. That's just what they are. Hey, do you remember when we all got really, really excited to turn off our cable service and just go to streaming services because there was only like two of them?
Yeah, and what's going to save us so much money?
Do you know the best tool to use to find all of those unwanted subscriptions, cancel them, and maybe get the bill back down to that hopeful place of less than cable?
Please tell me.
Rocket Money.
Tell me more.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscription, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money gives you full control over your subscriptions and a clear view of your expenses. So you can see all of your subscriptions in one place. And if you see something you don't want, Rocket Money can help cancel it with just a few taps.
Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They deal with customer service for you.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/childproof. That's rocketmoney.com/childproof.
rocketmoney.com/childproof. Hydrating doesn't have to be boring. Splash Refresher spices it up by putting fun and hydration in one. Because as a mom, I already have my hands full. Splash Refreshers are delicious, bright, flavorful, and available in 5 craveable flavors. It has zero sugar, zero calories, and a splash of sweetness for a hydrating and delicious beverage you'll come back to again and again.
My favorite flavor is the lemon. It really does taste like lemonade, so I'm getting hydrated, and it just feels like I'm drinking lemonade.
Splash Refresher perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories.
Available in 5 craveable flavors, wild berry, acai grape, pineapple mango, lemon, and mandarin orange, Splash Refresher is there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. There's a flavor for everyone to enjoy.
They are delicious, bright, flavorful, and hydrating, and zero calories. So you can have fun flavored water without any guilt. Consider your hydrated self thriving.
Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart, or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Can I tell you one of the most shocking moments for me recently? Because, you know, when kids, they hit certain ages and you're like, wow, you've really exited that last stage, right? Like when mm-hmm. they're a toddler and you're like, oh my gosh, they're really not a baby anymore. And then they start mm-hmm. kindergarten and you're like, oh, they're like a kid now. And they get to like upper elementary and you're like, they're a big kid. And now I've recently hit this stage with my preteen where I'm like, oh my goodness, she is a young lady. Mm-hmm. And this was really emphasized for me when she let her littlest sister take her bun bun to play with. Like that's still her lovey, right? She still knows where it is, but it doesn't have that same necessity for comfort. It's just, now it's like, it's moved into that nostalgia territory and she just gives her lovey to her sister. And I was like,
Abby, we had a similar experience probably around the same age because this was years ago for me, but my oldest is like 4 years older than your oldest. Mm-hmm. So this was a couple years ago for us, but Abby's lovey is called Meow Meow and it's this stuffed raggedy looking cat.
Yeah, they're always raggedy by that age.
They're always raggedy. Yeah. It didn't start raggedy, but... yeah, this thing is beat up. It doesn't have its original eyes anymore. Its nose and mouth was just string, so it's gone. The girl child was 2 or 3 and looks up and sees Meow Meow on the shelf. And she, at the time, had just learned cat. All mm-hmm. things cat were important to her. So she was like, the cat. And Abby was like, absolutely not. No, that's my Dolly. Because at this point, the girl child already had Dolly, which is her lovey. She's like, nope, that's my Dolly. You can't have that. You're not allowed to ask for that. I don't have to share. And I looked up and Meow Meow was defended from the clutches of the baby sister, but was also dusty. And it was like,
yeah.
So you love Meow Meow, but you don't need her anymore.
I know. It's the weirdest thing. It's like, to the child, they don't even, this is just, oh, I moved past it. But as yeah. the parent, you're like, Oh, this is what they meant when they said they grow up so fast.
So, but as far as sharing, what we do really focus on is the sharing of spaces and responsibilities. So when it comes to toys, the community toys are things like Legos. There are enough Legos that both of you can play Legos simultaneously. And yes, you need to share. You can't hog all the same color brick unless you've already, I'm making a pink house, so I need the pink Legos. Then that's on the other kid to go, okay, well, here's a pink Lego. I just won't use the pink Legos because there are plenty of other Legos.
Right.
But we really focus on sharing space and sharing responsibility. So when we say, hey, we are sharing this, what I mean is if you're going to get in here and you're going to play in this area, when you are done, because we share this, you need to put it back as good or better than how you found it.
Yes.
We all share the food and the kitchen in which it is prepared. So we share responsibility and we share chores and actions to make sure that the kitchen, that's how we approach sharing. We are sharing community, not stuff. And I think that's where so much of it, because as adults, we are required to share community. We participate in elections. We participate in traffic laws. Like this is all how we share community, is we agree to certain rules and we all abide by them. And we understand the consequences when those rules are not abided by. That is sharing at its like deepest, like most philosophical roots.
And that's the thing too, when we're talking about sharing those responsibilities, sharing that community, it's like, you're also teaching them empathy.
Yes.
Because I know recently I had a conversation with my middlest who, you know, she's at that age where you're really trying to find the buy-in for them, because if you can find the buy-in for kids to participate, it is, you're not going to have that power struggle of like, well, this is your chore. Yeah. And so the one day I was tidying up in the kitchen and I said, hey, can you pick up that stuff on the floor? She's, I didn't put that there. It's not mine. I said, well, I know, but you're there. You use this kitchen. I pick up after you. Your sisters pick up your stuff sometimes. Like, this is how we all contribute to keeping our home, our shared space, nice.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, but I don't really want to. Like, it feels like it isn't fair. And I said, okay, I hear you. I said, I do have a question though. I said, do you think it's fair that I should do every chore because no one else who shares this space wants to?
Yeah.
And she really thought about that one. And she was, no, that's not fair. And I said, yeah. I said, so do you think I actually enjoy doing the dishes and sweeping? No. Yeah, I don't. But it has to be done because our house, we deserve to live in a nice space. And that means all of us have to help out with it. So I know you don't want to, but we can make it more fun. Why do you think I always have music going and I'm dancing around? Is sweeping fun? No. But is pretending the end of the broom is a microphone while I'm sweeping fun? Kinda.
Yeah.
I can be. It's more fun than just sweeping. So we can find ways to make it fun. And it's also important that we're all working together to keep our space nice. And that forcing that empathy of getting her to consider outside of herself was so helpful.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I think the conversation around sharing starts as, well, this is the easiest way to start talking about community and empathy is your friend wants to play with your truck. So you should let your friend play with the truck because you know what it's like to want to play with something and not to, like, it gets so close, but then it gets lost entirely. So the other day we will occasionally do what we call picnics, which is we don't eat at the dinner table. And the littles get blankets out. The bigs still just eat on the couch because we're capable of not getting crumbs more or less everywhere. I mean, I am me, so there's still crumbs.
I was about to say, I know you.
I'm still going to spill something, but I also have the executive function skill and ability to use the cleaner to clean up what I spilled immediately.
And no one has to tell you to clean it up.
Right. The five-year-olds, not so much. They do the thing where something spills and they just stare at it like it's going to fix itself. Right. Kid, move!
Does anyone see this?
It seems like that spilled milk is going to ruin all of my homework. I don't know what to do. Move the homework, kid!
Right.
standing there is not the solution. But their brains haven't learned that yet. Yeah. But anyway, so we have these picnics and the kids have to eat on picnic blankets because when they spill, it spills on that blanket and then one of the adults can immediately swoop in, scoop the whole blanket up, and now it's not all over the floor. Now it's not ruining the carpet. Mm-hmm. So it's just when we have picnic days, which is maybe once a week or so, sometimes less, sometimes more. But the kids have to get out the blanket. Well, we had had a picnic day and the boy child ran off to go. He was dismissed from dinner and he ran off to go play something, but he forgot to pick up his blanket. And the girl child was about to run off to her room. And then she turns around. She goes, oh, I forgot my picnic blanket. And it's her job to take it, shake it out, and then fold it up and put it back in the storage bin where it lives. And she was like, Bubba forgot his. I was like, oh, well, you can do two things. You can either go tell Bubba you forgot, and that's a very helpful thing to do because he forgot. It was an accident. So you can go tell Bubba that he forgot and he needs to come back and clean up his picnic blanket, or you could put it away for him. And there's no wrong answer. There's not a bad choice here. Yeah. Either choice is a good choice to make. It's a good way to be helpful. But you get to choose how helpful you want to be. And she said, how helpful? Yeah. Super, super helpful as you put the blanket away for him so he can continue playing. You've shared the responsibility. Pretty helpful would be you remind him that he forgot something so his parents don't have to tell him you forgot something. That's a responsibility. Like, it's a different conversation when it's coming from you. She goes, okay, I think I'm just going to put it away for him. I was like, that's a good choice.
That's so sweet. That's my littlest loves being helpful. Mm-hmm. She's just like naturally, she's just so drawn to people and helping. And it's so special. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have a similar rule in our house that like you don't have to clear your plate in the way of eating it all, but you do have to clear it off into the trash and put it in the sink. And my eldest is copy paste to me. She's just going so fast all the time.
I just realized our kids have a very different definition of clear your plate. You and I came from Clean Plate Club. Our kids do not. If we say clear your plate, they know it means clear the plate from the table.
Look at us go. I'm proud of us.
I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt. I just had that realization.
No, thank you for interrupting. That was such a great thing to think of. But my eldest is like me. She goes fast. Okay. We're moving fast from one activity on to the next. As soon as I'm done, I'm moving on. Now I'm working really hard on this and I'm trying to teach her at the same time. And but sometimes she's the most likely child to just forget her plate. Mm-hmm. I'm done eating. I'm leaving the table.
Just gone. Yeah. Next task.
So what I will often do if I notice it is I will just, you know, holler out her name and say, are you done eating? Huh? Are you done? I can tell. You know, and it's a joke and she'll run back. Sometimes I've said, hey, are you done eating? Okay. Yeah, I thought so. I'm going to clear your plate for you today. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's kind of a mix of those two things. But the one day she left it and my middlest left it too. Like everyone just like abandoned ship. And my littlest was watching me fill the dishwasher and she went, oh, sisters forgot their plates. I'll just take care of them. I like to help. I was like, sweet baby. That's so kind. Thank you.
Yeah, you can't, when they do stuff like that, you can't overreact because then they fall into that praise seeking mode where now they're doing it just for the sake of the praise, which is a super age appropriate thing, but like you kind of want to avoid that.
And I just told her, I was like, thank you, because you didn't just help your sisters, you helped me too, because now I don't have to go grab those dishes to put them in the dishwasher. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, It's the same thing when they fall and get hurt and you're like, I have to gauge my reaction here.
Like we freeze. Yeah. Do they cry? Okay, to cry when the baby cries.
I love my dog Sansa. She is the cutest little mush. I've had her for 6 years now. Literally would do anything for her. But something I didn't think about before having a dog is pet insurance. So if you have a dog or are thinking about getting a dog, you should check out ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/betches. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/betches. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/betches. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
The other thing that we're really working on, especially when we're talking not just about sharing, but now we've sort of moved into caring, where empathy is essentially thinking of others. Not necessarily first, there's not really an order to it. Mm-hmm. And empathy itself is a deeply philosophical concept.
It goes hand in hand with just being considerate,
right?
Really.
So considering not just how other people feel, but how your choices impact other people or could impact other people, it gets really complicated. And adults struggle with empathetic communication, with being empathetic in the appropriate way, given any circumstance. So of course, teaching kids to do that is friggin' hard.
And if you go too far with empathy, you end up with people pleasing.
Right.
And so there's levels to it where I want you to be considerate of others and be empathetic, but also hold boundaries and take care of yourself. And that's not a one-time conversation.
But then on the other side of that, if we're talking about boundaries and holding care for yourself, now we're beginning to fight. We've got people pleasing on one side and reciprocity on the other, where I did something nice for you, so you owe me something nice.
Oh, and that's one that's hard to fight.
It is.
Yeah. We don't do nice things to get something for it. That's not so nice anymore.
Right. So like we're doing it because it's nice. So balancing this, you're being helpful for the sake of being helpful. You're being helpful because we're sharing space and responsibility, or you're being helpful because now Bubba owes you a favor. Cause remember, and so that's one of the things. We don't front load that. Remember, this isn't for a favor. What we do is we try to cut it off. Luckily, 5-year-olds communicate in a very linear way. And so when the girl child goes, "Remember when?" Man, Jack and I are laser focused. Remember when what? Are you going to remind us of a thing you did nice and think you are owed for? Or are you just recounting a memory?
Right, like, right.
Remember when? Finish the sentence, child.
Yeah, that's a tricky part of it too, because you don't want them to think that it's teaching them that their good deed isn't as good if they're doing it to get something out of
it.
And there is space for the thing you get out of it is you feel good about doing good.
Yes.
That's the goal. And that's a conversation I have with my kids about it.
It's that self-validation. You feel good because you inside feel good about having done a good thing, not because someone else is going to validate you by doing something for you or giving you something or paying you for that.
Yes. And so there's really two conversations that I tend to repeat with my kids, and they scale up and level as they get older. Mm-hmm. But the first thing I always do is just challenge empathy. So that's if there's like a bad behavior or they reacted poorly or they're upset about something that maybe is just a little off, and it's, well, how would you feel? Mm-hmm. And that is a loaded question because it can be hard to really, especially at that age, consider, well, how would I feel?
Well, and if you think about the brain chemistry, parts of their brain that have future think and that have that multiple option of I could feel angry or I could feel scared or I could feel jealous, like parts of their brain that are responsible for those levels of thinking aren't online yet.
Yes. And that's so the younger they are, I provide more context to that question, because, you know, when they're a preteen, you can say, well, how would you feel? And they can really consider that in the storytelling. But when they're younger, I am creating the story.
Yeah.
So, well, how would you feel if you were playing with this toy and your sister came and yanked it out of your hand and you got upset? Yeah. And you got upset and yelled, and then she hit you. Mm-hmm. How would you feel in this scenario? You know, and it's so specific that they can really kind of, it's like reading them a story. They can take things out of that and extrapolate. Yeah, well, maybe I would feel upset about that. I wouldn't like that.
Well, okay. And I think so many times the internet is a double-edged sword. We have, you know, as most of you were listening to us on the internet, there's so many helpful resources, but then there's also the, well, you don't want to ask them leading questions because now they're just giving the answer you think they want. Except sometimes you do have to ask them a leading question. Would you be upset or would you be happy about somebody hitting you? Okay, so then how do you think they felt? Like, obviously upset is the answer that I wanted you to give, and I have led you to that answer. But I also need you to, oh, I would feel upset. You're right. That would piss me off.
Yeah, and that's... I think it's okay, depending on the context, to ask these leading questions. And I think it's funny too, because sometimes I'll ask my kid, well, how would you feel if you got hit?
Do they petulantly be like, I wouldn't care.
I wouldn't care. I think it'd be funny. And I'm like, your pants are on fire, you little liar.
Yeah. But, I've seen this scenario in real life. You were pissed when this happened to you, but you don't remember that.
And so that's the other side with the thing that I teach my kids is that empathy isn't just in a person-to-person context, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just like, how would you feel in this very specific situation? I teach my kids to respect people in general, not just people with authority. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we should be as kind to the school janitor as we are to the principal. Everyone has a job and it's all important. We all hold value and deserve to take up space. And so... this is one of the things that I will say to them, like for an example of how this works in the real world. Mm-hmm. When we go to the grocery store, I always tell my kids, we look with our eyes, not our hands.
Yes.
And that is just repeated all the time. Just we look with our eyes, not our hands, because they see something, because they hang the stuff, you know, in the middle of the aisle and it's so bright and colorful and you know it's like junk, but the kids are drawn to it and their little hands go up and we look with our eyes, not our hands. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I see them going to grab something because they want to ask if they can have it. And it's like, you can ask me without picking it up. I have eyeballs too. We look with our eyes, not our hands. And to follow that up as the why, right? Because I like to provide the why. What I tell them is that the employees who work here are already doing so much. They have a difficult job. Look at all this stuff that they are keeping organized and they're helping us check out. And there's people bringing their carts back. And so all of these people have a job. And so if you are picking things up and putting it back where it doesn't belong or putting it back out of order, you are now going to make someone else's job harder. They're going to have an extra task to do today to fix it. Mm-hmm. And how do you think that, how do you think they would feel? Do you think that's fair to them?
The phrase we use is we only touch what is ours. And what that is if we haven't paid for it, then it's not ours yet. And we may never pay for it, which means it's never going to be ours. Mm-hmm. We never did the thing that takes it from whoever had it before to make it our own thing. So if we are messing with stuff, what happens if you pick up that pretty glass that's not ours and you accidentally drop it? Now, a store employee has to clean it up. Somebody has to figure out what happened and do a whole bunch of paperwork for it. And whoever was actually going to own that now can't because it's broken. Now we've impacted a huge, it's butterfly wing chaos. We, through a choice of not respecting the shared spaces, not caring for our impact on others, we have impacted a whole bunch of people. So we only touch what is ours.
Yeah, I'm going to start using that. I'm going to add that into the mix. But that's the thing too, when you're at the store and the kids are being chaos. Mm-hmm. I always tell my kids, I have chaos levels that I communicate to them. And so sometimes like if we're having a good day, we're having fun. Yeah, you can bring the chaos level up to an 8. But like at home, right? And when we're out, if they're just getting a little bit antsy, right? Like mm-hmm. if I made the mistake of going to the store after school.
I'll tell you.
I need the chaos level to a 2.
Yeah.
And I tell them other people are shopping here too, and mm-hmm. they deserve peace with that. We have to be respectful of where we are and the other people inside of this establishment.
It's such a difficult, especially like this has been hot on the internet of kids existing in spaces and kids having the audacity to be kids in these spaces.
I hate when kids act like kids.
We're not going to get into it, but it's such a difficult conversation. Like we deserve to be in this space. We deserve to take up space. We deserve to use the resources on offer here. We deserve to exist in public as we are, but also we can't be too much. We are not entitled to all of the space here.
Yeah.
There are other people that we can be considerate of. It can be a symbiotic relationship. We deserve to be here and we can be respectful while we're here. And it's such a skinny friggin' line of my kid is being a kid or my kid's being obnoxious.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, how do kids learn how to act in public spaces if they're never in public? Imagine the level of Karens that would come out of that if we just kept them home. And I mean, the one time though, just last year, we're in the checkout line and, you know, they have at the cash wrap, they always have all the stacks of candy and they're just mm-hmm. like, we just want these kids to touch this stuff. And again,
don't
I say,
touch what is not ours. Right?
We look with our eyes, not our hands. And I am putting my stuff on the belt. I turn my head. One of my kids has her hands on the candy. And I was like, whoa. We look with our eyes, not our hands. And she said, oh, I was just fixing it because I saw that some of these candy bars were in the wrong spots. And you said it could make someone else's job harder. So I wanted to fix it. Okay. Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, but responsive parenting doesn't fucking work.
Doesn't at all. Doesn't at all, because she broke the rule and she was looking with her hands to fix something.
Yeah, discipline. You lack discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the sort of stuff. But here's the thing is, if you also have a kid, if you're listening to us tell these stories of our kids being successfully empathetic, being successfully caring, sharing well and respectfully, if you also go like, oh, my kid does that, or oh, I've got a story like that. If you feel like we're standing at the water cooler and it's your turn to add your story. Yeah, that's you're doing a good job.
And if you have had a lot of hard times and you feel like a failure listening to this going, my kids would never do that. Oh my God, my kids are so hard. I'm a horrible parent. No, you're not. Nope. It's hard. It's difficult. And it takes time for all of us to learn. And for every sweet story we have a bunch
we
of ones
a
that weren't
bunch
so
bunch of
sweet.
Ones that fail entirely. Yeah. Let me regale you with the time that I made a carrot tsunami. I made a carrot tsunami.
Yep, say more. Yep.
So we're in the grocery store. This is with Abby when she is quite little. We're in the grocery store and we're not just in the grocery store. We're in the Whole Foods.
Ooh, fancy.
And this, this is Whole Foods circa 2011, 2012. Okay. This was pre-Amazon. This was the bougiest of bougies happening inside this Whole Foods. Okay. Right. And if you've ever been to a Whole Foods, you know that they stack their produce in the most aesthetic way humanly possible. I don't know if they still do because I don't go to Whole Foods very often because I am not that tax bracket, but they stacked their foods the most aesthetic way. Like all of the rainbow of leafy greens are all like tucked in a certain way and they've made like patterns out of the colors. It's very pretty to look at and very intimidating to try to, I just want some fucking kale. Am I allowed to touch this display? I don't know. And then you watch all the other people in the store going, oh, okay, they're touching it. I'm going to grab one.
Yeah.
maybe that's just me. I don't know. But the carrots were in one of the center things and they were mounded up like a giant pyramid. Now there were
steps. That sounds practical.
I know. No. There was like a frame under it where there were steps where the carrots were stacked.
Just thought someone was like really into
they were all bundled up. Yeah. So like it would have been fine, but it was definitely not kid proof. And Whole Foods is not known for their kid-proofing, which is fine. Not everyone has to do that. It's my responsibility bringing my kid into the store to make sure they don't mess with the displays. Except that we were there to buy carrots. And we needed to get the pre-cut baby carrots, which were at a different part of the store. And my daughter spotted the large display of carrots. And she was like, "Mom, I found the carrots." I was like, "Those aren't the carrots we need. Mom, I found the carrots. Those are not the carrots we need. Mom, I found the carrots. Those are not the carrots we need." As in slow motion, she reaches up she picks a bundle of carrots that's underneath a whole bunch of other carrots toward the top of the stack, reaches up, yanks.
This isn't Jenga. No.
Down this mountain of carrots. And for every bundle that fell, another bundle toppled behind it and another. The shaking of the one side falling got the other three sides of this pyramid to tumble down. So we have created a carrot tsunami in the store. It's off. There's carrots everywhere. And this is right in the front of the stupid store. The door to the outside.
It's the panic you feel because, you know, everyone is looking and you've clearly failed as a human and parent and you can never show your face in that Whole Foods again. No wonder you haven't gone back.
Here's the thing. If I had been a little more proactive in just recognizing no, she's really set. There were other things I could have done. There were other sentences I could have said. I could have just picked the damn child up and put her in the cart because I saw that see-through skull was there. Yeah. I saw the thought process happening. I knew what the outcome was. I didn't expect the carrot tsunami.
Right.
And honestly, did we have this big, okay, this is how we impacted other people? Nope. I helped clean up the stuff. I purchased nothing. I offered to pay for any of the produce that was ruined by the carrot tsunami. They said, no, it's okay. We got in the car. I didn't say a word. I did not use the opportunity to educate about empathy. I did not use the opportunity about the consequences of our actions. We just rode home in complete silence. I never said anything about it.
I think it's time now. 10 years later, I think that you and Abby ought to have a sit down.
Hey, remember the time that you threw carrots all over the Whole Foods?
I bet she doesn't.
She probably doesn't.
They don't. They don't catalog it the same way. She didn't have the horrified shame attached to it. She probably thought, oh, cool, carrots. But I'll tell you, the other thing for me that goes with the empathy, right? Because that's part of the conversation that I have with the kids is the empathy of like, we need to be considerate of other people. Mm-hmm. And the other part is integrity. Now, my kids have all known the word integrity since they were toddlers. Mm-hmm. Could I have chose a different word? Sure. But that's the word that has a meaning. And so we just use that word. And if you've heard a toddler say integrity, it's adorable. But the way that I describe integrity to them is that integrity is doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do, even when no one is watching, even when no one else is. And so in this conversation, it involves that empathy of being considerate because if you see, I mean, of course, there's always the, you know, if all your friends jumped off a bridge, are you going to do it too? You know, like, no, you know, that's not the right thing to do. But it comes to if you're at school and your teacher is telling the whole class to settle down and you know that you're not supposed to be talking right now, everyone else is. Well, what's the good integrity move? Are we going to keep talking? Or are we going to be considerate to the space we're in? Are we going to be empathetic to our teacher who might be about to pull her hair out? And it's also in that way of, if you're walking down the aisle at the grocery store and someone drops their carrots, are you going to just walk by or are you going to pitch in? You know, and sometimes you're in a rush, you don't have time to just stop. But if you have time to stop, like, well, that's a good thing to do. It's the right thing to do. You're not getting anything out of it besides just
a good feeling,
providing a little kindness. Mm-hmm. And that can be worth it. It's not the wrong thing to do if you don't help. Of course, there's nuance there, but it's teaching that integrity of like, what do you think the right thing to do is in these various situations of various stakes? You know, like sometimes it's not a big deal. No one's going to get in trouble, nothing like that. And sometimes, well, if you make the wrong choice here, there's going to be consequences. Yeah. Where is the integrity?
That's our timer.
Wow. That was
conveniently ending on a high note there. We didn't actually get to the scaring.
Huh.
We got to sharing, caring, but not scaring.
You're
going to
have to find more rhyming words so that we can do scaring and other things.
I can't think of any other rhyming words off the top of my head. They'll all come to me at like 12:37 in the morning.
Yeah.
After we stop recording, I'll think of like 19 of them and then dwell and on the fact that I
really
couldn't come up with them
strange
now.
Text message.
You will. You absolutely will. So thanks so much for listening to Childproof from Betches Media. We want to hear from you. Email us at childproof@betches.com.
And be sure to give us a follow. I am Tori Phantom in all the places, and she's Mama Cusses.
Tune in every Wednesday, everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
And leave us a rating. We like reading them, and it really does help.
And remember, sometimes our kids are the assholes.
And sometimes it's us, with a bunch of carrots at Whole Foods.
'Childproof' is produced by Rebecca Salzmacat. Editing by Rebecca Salzmacat. Social media by Lauren Salome. Guest booking by Allie Friedlander. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send your email to childproof@betches.com.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy, perfectly blending refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories.
Available in 5 craveable flavors, there's a flavor for everyone to enjoy. My favorite flavor is the lemon.
The mandarin orange is my favorite flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.